Today is first day Chanukah, Freilich and Chanukah, Chagorim Sameach. To everyone listening, in a moment I'll explain, it's not so happy for me this morning, but life has to move on. It's December 19th, 2022, and one of my dearest friends, someone that we worked together on a project that 50 years from now, Abe will say, I'm happy to have known Aaron Rakefet. Aaron Shapiro died. I have to look at all the emails I got, but I gather he died yesterday. And it's part of my flesh, that's all I can say. I just told my wife, she was shocked, but we knew he was not well. He's been, Aaron Shapiro, first of all, is a YU mismach. He's about 5 years older than me. If I'm 85, he has to be 90. However, the last 30 years of his life were very difficult. I spoke about that yesterday in a different context. You'll hear the shiur, you'll understand. I happened to mention him yesterday. Could be I mentioned him at the very moment he died. That's happened to me before. And he's suffered from Parkinson's for 30 years. And the last years have been very difficult. He was blind as a result. I don't know if the Parkinson's, diabetes, a human being, when the body falls apart, it falls apart. But let me talk about some of his achievements. His father succeeded in America, and their plumbing supply business was the biggest on the East Coast. They had a factory in Williamsburg that was a Civil War building. They made some slight improvements, but for instance, if an airport was being built, they would bid on putting in all the plumbing supplies. You'd wind up with a contract of millions of dollars. Irwin took over the business from his father. I yet knew his father. I knew his mother. His mother was a tzaddiket, who insisted that the family remain frum despite the maelstrom of America. People who worked for him, I don't think there were any Jewish people. People working in stock and taking charge and the cleaning and the building. Anyone who worked for him worked for all their life for him. They just, Irwin, as a human being, they loved him. When these people retired, Irwin had arranged pension that for the rest of their lives, they didn't have to worry about income in their old age. And I trust you understand what I'm saying. People who took care of him. So the level of the people, I remember one lady, Caribbean if I'm not mistaken, they were looking for someone who was a nurse and could help take care of him and be with him a good part of the day. She came with her pastor to be interviewed, and the pastor interviewed Irwin and Ruthie. You follow what I'm saying? If this is a proper place for this religious woman to work. Needless to say, she worked with him from the day she was interviewed, probably to the day he died. Such a human being. What he did for Tzedakah, we're talking about someone who gave tens of millions of dollars, Yeshiva University, Alon Shvut, Ramaz, you see his world. But more than that, there's a lot I can't say yet. In 50 years, maybe I can tell the whole story. And Charlie will say, I knew great people in my life, but one of them was Aaron Rakefet. What we did to perpetuate the Rebbe's memory, it's not public now. But Irwin, all right, I deserve the credit, but I started it. But he was the backbone. You can have all the great ideas in the world. If you don't have the financial backing, you don't get anywhere. And I'm talking about financial backing that could not be public and could not have a tax exemption. We're talking hundreds of thousands of dollars just to perpetuate Rebbe's memory. And I can go on and on. The family he raised, his wife was a Livin' Bewell, Ruthie and Schreiber. That's the Tarek Mishpacha family. What they did for Tarek Mishpacha around the world, the Schuyot, and Ruthie, Tzadeket in her own right. Three children. The daughter was my student. Two sons. One of the sons married a student of mine. And Kulam Yireim Vishleimim. So I want to dedicate today's shir, and I hope it's the end of any bad news, Hanukkah. We only want to hear good news. Erwin, I don't even know if he's buried yet. I haven't looked at all the details, so you can't say Nichum till after the burial, actually. But the Ribbono Shel Olam should only give us good news henceforth and further. Okay, a correction. Again, these are small corrections, but a slip of the tongue. You know, when you talk quickly. I said the Satmar Rav, Reb Yoelish, in his final year when he was ill, he retreated to between Far Rockaway and the Five Towns, an area called Bell Harbor. Not, I pronounced it Bal Harbor. Bal Harbor is a very fancy area beyond Miami Beach. I know Bal Harbor very well. That's right where you had the cave-in of the building. It was a block or two away from when Bal Harbor begins.
Bal
Harbor.
Bal,
B-A-L, Bal Harbor. Bal Harbor is where, also a very nice area at that time, and where they made a home available for the Satmar Rav. Now, another question I got, and it's what I said yesterday, this class began in 1980. The Sunday class began 1978. This class began 1980. To me, it's one class. And if I start repeating myself, I can't do new material. So I mentioned Rabbi Grinstein was trying to shoot me down, but he didn't succeed. Meaning, I said last week that a chassid always has a Rebbe. A Litvak doesn't necessarily have a Rebbe. Let me clarify it. I can't give the whole, I spoke about this in great detail, but I'll illustrate it in a minute. Natan, without a Rebbe, you're not a Jew. Listen to my lectures that I gave 40 years ago, or more than 40 years, on Torah Shebaal Peh. Moshe Kripke, Rabbi Kripke, told me those little, let me not repeat what he told me, but they were good lectures. Without Torah Shebaal Peh, why was God makpid on Torah Shebaal Peh? Because you can't pick up Torah from a Murray Bun book, from a lifeless book. And Torah Shebaal Peh, we all have to have a Rebbe. The Gemara was written in a way that there's no way to understand it on your own. You must have a Rebbe. So a Litvak has a Rebbe, but you have a Rebbe once in your life. Generally, it's when you're young. Not a Rebbe. The Rebbe is sitting here. But I can't go beyond the Rebbe. And many of my friends, we once discussed it. We when we came in Aliyah, we went to hear some of the Dashonim here, famous names. We were laughing. Compared to the Rav, if 1 out of 10 they get a 4, the Rav gets 10. Okay? Maybe they get a 5. A chassid always has a Rebbe. And that's what I said. When the chassid is young, the Rebbe is old. When the chassid is old, the Rebbe is young. You have to have a Rebbe by definition, all right? Reb Yoelish was Reb Yoelish. Reb Moshe Teitelbaum, the Eitzri Chaim, the Sigata Satmar doesn't come to Reb Yoel in learning, but all right, he was my Rebbe. Reb Zalman, Reb Aaron, I don't know where they stand. But, all right, I'm a chassid. Now, I'll illustrate this. 1966. Natan, where were you in 1966? Who got married that year? Tell me, who got married that year? Tell me, a wedding is coming up between two people with the same name, but thank God they're different. In this world, you have to say, thank God they're different sexes. They may be the same name, but Baruch Hashem, he's a boy and she's a girl. Thank God. All right, a wedding is coming up. They're going to sing at the wedding. Simin Tavu, Mazel Tavu, Mazel Tavu, Simin Tavu. You know that song? When was that introduced? When was that, Vic? You remember when it was introduced?
It came out in 64, Senator.
66.
64,
you heard it? I was told it was introduced at the wedding of an 18-year-old kid whose last name is Rokach. He was a eunuch until then, and he was now marrying the Vishnitzer Rebbe's daughter. And at that wedding, they introduced, that's how I was told, it was introduced, check it out. And at the wedding, he became the Rebbe. And Elder Hasidim, my age, not looking like I look, Eisbach, like I said yesterday, a pushtak, a garnished, a poya. Boy, Charlie Arabeyev knew how to maledict us in many different languages, that's all I can say. At that wedding, Elder Hasidim, who were bucking in Shas and Poistim, who never sinned in their lives, stood before an 18-year-old Shik Yingle and held the kos. And when this kid looked at them, they said, L'chaim, Rebbe. And he said, L'chaim, and then they drank. Oh my gosh. My Litvish blood boiled over. Only a chassid can appreciate what I just said. And that's the difference. A chassid always has a Rebbe. When he's young, the Rebbe is old. When he's old, the Rebbe is young. A Litvak, okay, of course we had a Rebbe. But that's it. Don't seek more Rebbeim. The new generation, they have their Rebbeim. Life moves on. I was once sitting with a YU musmach, and he was maledicting the new crop of Rebbeim. How do they compare to? I said to him, you idiot. Da v'dashav. Open Gemara, Sanhedrin. This is life. Yiftach b'dara, the Gemara Rosh Hashanah. Nu, help me out. Yiftach b'dara, k'shmul b'dara. That's the way it works. You can't go to Rabbi, I always used to say, the girls are Micholah. If you have a Shaila and Yontif Sheini, you have to ask Rabbi Abraham. Ah, you'll tell me Rabbi Abraham can't learn like Reb Kevega. You can't go to Reb Kevega's grave and ask him the Shaila. This is life. Yiftach, all right. Siddiq, move on. Al Litvisha, Chabad Rebbe, same Molin Levin. Okay, so I just want to make that clear. Another small correction that I made yesterday already, I confused Nir Galim with Nir Etzion. What we ended off last week's shir on Monday with that Mizrachiite who says, I'm a Satma, he lives in Nir Galim. Nir Galim is near Ashdod. It's near the coast. It's near Yavna. It's near Kerem B'Yavna. Nir Galim is up north. And they're both Moshavim, or Moshavot. I don't even know what the plural is. Anyone can help me? Moshavim or Moshavot. I mean, it's probably Moshavot, I would imagine. Kibbutz, Kvutzot, they say. Anyway, it's Hapon Mizrahi settlements. And I boasted that my Talmidah is the Rebbetzin, she's the Rebbetzin of Nir Etzion, not Nir Galim. And Nir Galim was established by Mizrachiites, 90%, I'm told, from Greater Hungary. Hungary, Czechoslovakia, Romania, from that area, survivors. Regarding what we said about the Gera Rebbe, how we bought up land, so Moshe Kravitz, I had a unique experience. Last Monday, I tell everyone I achieved the impossible. A Lakewood graduate, a Gera Chassid in full regalia, a Belzer in full, a Satman in full regalia, and they're all my Talmidim. I said, Baruch Hashem, I'm very happy. I wish I had a few YU Talmidim who listened to me. All right, Baruch Hashem. So Moshe Kravitz sent me a whole email after the Shia, and he tells me that this he heard from within Ger, being a Ger Chassid, that when the Re'eim, Rav Avraham Mordechai, the second Ger, the third Ger Rav actually, it's the Rim, it's Svat Emet, and the Re'em, the first three Gerer Rebbeim. So Rabbi Mordechai visited Israel and bought up land. When he came back, he told his wealthy Hasidim, go buy up land. And none of the Hasidim listened to him. And the Gerer talking now, these were people, if the Rebbe told them to jump, they would jump. And when it came to buying land in Israel, got to be crazy. And the Gera family borrowed money to keep on buying land. And as they say, the rest is history. Now, a question that so many people have asked me, and I'll repeat the story. It's Hanukkah, but we'll tell a Purim story. The story is told, and it's making the rounds again. I've been asked this question at least 100 times, maybe more. The Lubavitcher Rebbe in Berlin, and the truth is, in a Shemayim Zachiti, I was the one sitting next to the Rav, the only one, no one else in the house, when he was sitting Shiva, and the two Gera Hasidim. I tell the story, I believe, in Washington. If not, I told it in class in detail. But the Gera Chassidim came in, the Lubavitcher Chassidim came in, and they were Nachum Avel, and the Rav started recollecting and telling stories about Lubavitch, and then they left, and he was telling me about the Rebbe. And in Berlin, the Rebbe gets drunk on Purim, and he goes into the public thoroughfare and starts pleading with the Jews, observe Purim, and know that you're Jewish, and Baruch Mordechai, or a Haman, etc., etc. And the Rebbe is arrested. So the police were told that he has friends that are reliable from U of Berlin, and they sent for the Rav, and the Rav comes and explains to the police it's Purim, and he got drunk, and we drink a little bit on Purim, and they let him go. When they walk out, the Rav says to the Rebbe, remember, they were kids at the time. He's not yet the Rav and he's not yet the Rebbe. But the Rav says to the Rebbe, I'll say it in English, although I'm living it in Yiddish. Yetz bin ich sicher als du wirst sein a Rebbe. Now I'm positive you become a Rebbe because you were arrested and released. Like the Baal Tanya, like your father-in-law, and now you were arrested and released. Is this story true? So I have to tell you, I never, never heard the Rav tell the story. Now, you'll say to me, well, a story like this you're not going to tell the Rabbim. Yeah, but the Rav was very friendly with the Queen's Mafia. The Queen's Mafia, he felt at home. He let his hair down. Look at some of the quotes I give you in the Rav when he's speaking in Norman Manyholz's home. He let his hair down. He didn't, what he wouldn't say in public, there he said it. RCA conventions, when they stayed on for the extra Shabbat and the Queen's Mafia got Rebbe, you have nowhere to go home. What are you rushing home? So you'll be with the Tweskies a week from now. Bleibt mit uns. We'll bring me vet Fabrenia. We'll be together. Shabbos. We'll enjoy. And the Rav said certain things I know that I quote from what he told the Queen's Mafia. He never mentioned it. So I can't believe the story is true. On the other hand, I have to be honest. I was sent a link to Rabbi Tzement speaking at a Yutet, this is a Chabadnik Shaluach in the Boston area. I taught members of the Tzement family. It's an old Chabad family, very well integrated into the United States. One of their members of the family was mayor in Miami, etc. And from Shaiman Mitzvot, I remember I taught a lady from that family. She told me in my family, when a plate falls on the floor in Pesach, we throw it away, we put it aside, it's chametz, it touched the floor. I looked at her like she's crazy. What does it have to do with touching the floor? If it's clean, it's clean. But all right, when it comes to Pesach, you can't argue with anyone. I told you, Reb Chaim Pinchas Scheinberg said, that if you have crumbs on the floor, it's not a problem, right? Pirurim don't matter. No, you go and tell that to my wife. In her youth, she'd hang you from the pole, a neuslauf, a trumpenik. So the Tzement family, they recorded Rabbi Tzement speaking about the Rav. This is, I think, 84. They invited him to Yudket Kislev. He couldn't come. He was too ill and too old already. He was not totally with it, lo aleinu. And I shouldn't say too old. He was quite a bit younger than I am today. But he was not with it physically. And he tells the story that he heard it from the Rav, that when he invited them, he went to invite the Rav started talking about Chabad, and he told him the story about the drinking and the Rebbe. So I want to take back. Until now, I felt for sure it couldn't be. Now I have to tell you 50-50, okay? So Be'ezrat Hashem, it's a good story. If it's anecdotal, it's anecdotal. And if it's real, it's real. Either way, we don't lose. We win. It's a good avot. All right. Rabbi Moshe Katz, that's your friend from... he's a Chaim Berlin graduate. As far as I know, it's the first Chaim Berlin graduate I've picked up as a Talmud. And he wrote a beautiful story that it's worth repeating. Here's a beautiful story. I have an Uncle Jack who was a Holocaust survivor. He was one of the few survivors of the Riga ghetto. He also survived the terrible place called Stutthof, which he said had less survivors than Auschwitz. When my brother in Yerushalayim made a chasana, my uncle came. The chasana was very close to Rabbi Wolbe, who came to the chasana with his wife. I'm sure you know Rav Shlomo Wolbe was the famous mashgiach. He's a very interesting individual. By the way, he's a Baal Tshuva. He was not born into a frum home. And he was in Sweden, Finland, one of the countries, the Scandinavian countries, during the Holocaust. He got out early, and the work that he did in saving survivors, women, we spoke about it in class, the school they organized for ladies, unbelievable, the Schuyat. And my uncle heard that Rebbetzin Wolbe was a survivor of Stutthof. He said he must go over to her. I tried to dissuade him, saying that a chasana may not be the right time. But he insisted. I will never forget. He came over to the Rebbetzin and told her in Yiddish that he was in Stutthof. She said, "What? You in Stutthof?" She looked at him like a brother and would have hugged him if she could. She said to him, "We speak the Zelbe Litvishi Yiddish." There was such a bond. They were both in the same extermination camp. Then and there, I learned a powerful lesson in Avat Yisrael, because Rebbetzin Wolbe didn't even notice, nor could she possibly care about something that I was very aware of. My Uncle Jack was the only kippah srugah in a sea of charedim. I was cured forever of attaching significance to the type of yarmulke someone wears. And all the best, Moshe. Rabbi Katz, I thank you for that beautiful, inspiring story, which should be part of a hashkafa, 100%. All right, now let's go further. We ended off. Okay, let me just say something else. The Satmar Chassid who was here last week, Yoel Glitchstein, so he told me something after class that I think it's quite important. We had this tremendous machloikas after the Sigita Safmarov died, and the sons, Zalman and Aaron. And time and again they threw at Aaron from the Muncie area, palm tree today, Kiat Yoel before, that he married into a Zionist family and his wife speaks Hebrew. So all the doctorates that I studied on Satma, they all dismissed this as propaganda. In other words, if you want to find fault, let's say I told you in all my years of teaching on YU Torah, 30 years now of Shiurim on YU Torah, I never got a drop-dead letter. Never. Either you like it or you don't like it, but it's a legitimate person. Got one letter. Out of recently, I told you, it's the third letter in my life that I haven't responded to. I can't go into details now. The third letter. And I mentioned that the Vishnitzer in Muncie is a Satmar and that. Well, I don't know what he's complaining about. I told the truth. But you see, if they want to throw something at you, they'll say, who the heck is Rakefet or why you... why you product? Why you? What's why you? Now, it may be real, it may not be real, but it sounds good. He's a why you product. They can complain. There's an oisvah from why you. This is exactly their attitude towards this complaint against the Aaron. He married, and they don't take it seriously. And I quoted and quoted. My Talmud claims that, Yoel claims that you have to understand they feel, the Zalman people feel, some of them, I guess, some of them may be true, it's a political ploy, but some of them feel he married out. He married into the Vishnitzer family. She went to Beis Yaakov. Her native language is Hebrew. And they really feel it. It's not to be dismissed. It's just a political ploy. My own feeling is, how can you say this? For one simple reason. If you say this, how could you have been a chassid of the Sigata Satma? As far as I know, in the Hasidic world, Hasidic Rebbeim, a child doesn't marry without the parents' permission, without the father's permission. And if Aaron married the Vishnitzer Rebbe's daughter, he had to have his father's permission. So, if you're mad at Aaron, be mad at the father. Be mad at the mother. How did you let such a man be the Rebbe, Sigata Satma? All right, the issue hangs fire. Finally, and this is just what we're about to do, I ended off last time we spoke in this class, which last week, I quoted a PhD thesis, a wonderful volume that appeared a year ago, American Shtetl, The Making of Kiryat Yoel, a Hasidic Village in Upstate New York, Naomi Stolzenberg and David Myers. And I told you after studying the volume, the introduction, I have the feeling that these people are married, and these people are from. All right, then you have the problem. How do you marry? We're from Jews. Our wives go with our last name. The men, they're not feminists. Al-ish, le-mishpachtam. A guy named Rakefet has given 1,000 sheyurim dealing with this problem. It's nothing against women when it comes to religion. Who determines whether you're a Jew? No, answer me. The mother. Religion goes through the mother. But the bank account and the family name for secular purposes goes through the father. Tell me, who's more important, the mother or the father? Okay. But nevertheless, what probably is the story, Naomi Stolzenberg started her career as Stolzenberg. I have one of my doctors, is a Talmidav of mine. She goes with her maiden name. I know her by her maiden name. I don't know her married name. Why does she go with her maiden name? Because she started her practice before she was married. Or by the time she was married, she was so well known by the maiden name, she didn't want to change it. So anyway, I have confirmation I have an email from Los Angeles, David Wachhalter, my student, and David writes that I was correct. David Myers is indeed married to Naomi Stolzenberg. And he says, I was wondering if you knew about that book. And I took a class or two with Professor Myers when he was new to UCLA in the early 90s. They lived not far from me in Los Angeles. Now, we've covered Satmar. We've seen Satmar arriving in America, more or less penniless, to raise funds for Palestine. We've seen what happened to Rabbi Yoel Ishi's stroke in 68. He dies in 79. The battle of succession, basically between those who accept Reb Moshe Teitelbaum, his nephew, and those who would love his Rebbetzin Feiger to be the titular head of Satmar. We then saw the big machloikis between Reb Moshe's two sons, all that went on between Aaron and Zalman, the split that you have until today. Williamsburg are the Zalis, and Palm Tree, which was Kiryat Yoel, which was Muncie, that area, they have the Aronis. And this volume, when you come towards the end, I'm quoting now, beginning on page 369, the Myers volume, when you come to the contemporary period, where do we go from here? And he makes some very interesting points, and I think we did mention this last week, but let me repeat it again. Number one, Machloikis is not new to Satmar. There's been Machloikis from time immemorial. Reb Yoel Ishi, Europe, Satmar, his brother, his nephew, the Satmar rabbinate, the opposition to him, the Munkacha Satmar Chassidim vis-a-vis the so-called Enlightenment element, the Zionist element. You come to America, tremendous explosion, Satmar, Lubavitch. Afterwards, the ongoing Machloikis. You okay? The ongoing Machloikis between the brothers, and the point of view that they develop is that for Satmar Chassidus, Machloikis is essential for growth. It creates excitement, it's part of the family tradition, and it helped them grow. That's one point. All right, there may be truth to it. It could be when we're all... What are you trying to do?
I'm videoing you, and I just wanted to stabilize the camera.
Okay. As I'm zangizant, I now see that shoes can have many roles in life. Kanain Hara, my wife discovered the shoes I'm wearing. She looked, it says all natural material. And she says, you can wear these shoes on Yom Kippur. For me, it's very important at my age, and with meniscus, I told her I have only one problem. People will look at them and think they're regular shoes. Maybe I should put a sign on them, no leather in these shoes. But okay, we'll worry about it when Tisha B'Av comes next. Shouldn't have a Tisha B'Av, Binyan Beit HaMikdash. Anyway, coming back here. The Machloik, there could be truth to this. Could be truth that Machloik is people involved, people yelling, people shouting, like an election campaign in Israel. Okay? What went on here? Suddenly everyone comes to life and they're giving out the placards. And I remember one election campaign, I was down in Ashkelon, there was a big rally for Agudat Yisrael, and I have until today a white hat reading Agudat Yisrael. And when I wear that, you don't know the reaction. People look, what, you became an Agud this? I said, what, are you crazy? Give your hat for nothing, grab it and run with it. Someone's saying, okay. So that's one point. The other point, Satmar today, and I've made this point many times, is totally Americanized. It's not the same Satmar survivor that I met in the 1950s in Williamsburg. It's not the same Satmar. If you walked through Williamsburg in the 1950s, you would hear more Hungarian than Yiddish. Can anyone verify, Charlie? Am I right? Do you remember Williamsburg? Even in Borough Park, you heard Hungarian on the street. Today, you'll hear Yiddish or English. You won't hear Hungarian. The Satmar kid being raised today is fluent in Yiddish. His English is poor. He's not speaking Hungarian anymore. But it's more than that. They've learned real politic. And you see what happened with Monroe County. Satmar was like a cancer within their midst. In America, it's a democracy. America, by the way, does not recognize democracy in Israel, if you understand what's going on now. We're not a democracy because the people voted we should be a Jewish state, okay? And the New York Times can't accept that. And if only our prime minister became a shame the Torah mitzvah, instead of answering the New York Times as he did in the news today, I would have answered differently. I am very sorry if all the Jews who founded the New York Times and worked for the New York Times are disturbed by the fact that in Israel we do not encourage intermarriage and assimilation, but we encourage continuing the saga of the living Jewish people. If it disturbs them, my apologies, but we have every right to speak for the continuity of the Torah people in their holy land. That's the way I would have answered the New York Times, not the foolishness and the meaninglessness of what Netanya had to say. But if a person is not a Shalom Shabbos, he doesn't know what Yiddishkeit is about. And Netanya, I've told you, there are problems in the family. There are Balei Tshuva in the family, that we have to say. Baruch Hashem, Sarah's father and Sarah's brother, they were tzaddikim, yesodei olam, her mother, etc., etc. But it's not for now. Okay. Anyway, they mastered America. And Monroe County saw they have a festering boil in their midst. And how did they get rid of them? They gave them a town. It was the first new town established in New York State in over 30 years. Now, what's the idea that you give them Palm City? It's very simple. Once you have your own town, you're not going to bother Monroe County from within. We want more land. We want more rights. This is your town. They didn't give them as many acres as they wanted, but they gave them a substantial town. This is yours. You rule it. You're in charge. You're the bosses. Don't bother us. Do what you want. That's real politic. And you have to understand that the voting power in a democracy is voting power. You generally speaking, people differ. It's natural. If I would poll my students, do you believe in Ben-Gvir? Do you believe in Smotrich? All right, 60% would say yes. 40% would say no. It's a legitimate argument. I'm a more right-winger, all right? I grew up in Meikhan's lap. But it's a legitimate. I can understand it. I myself, where Smotrich said we need a halachic state, if he had any seichel, he would have said we need a Jewish state. The minute you say halacha, someone I daven with every day who was of German origin, so he goes back to Germany. The family has property there that was given back to them after World War II. So he goes back every year. He spends about a month in Germany looking after the family interest. And he lectures at the university. So he showed me a German newspaper in German. But I still remember a little German. And essentially it was, what is a halachic state? And the article says, we'll be executing homos. We'll be executing mechallelei Shabbos. I couldn't believe what we're reading. But if you use the word halal, use a Jewish state. What is a Jewish state? Public Shabbat, public kashrut, family purity, meaning we don't want intermarriage, etc. Who can he? All right, the reformer will disagree. So I'm saying, let them live and be well and disagree from today to tomorrow. Halavai, we have to reach out to them and bring them in to the Torah world, the Jewish world. So this is democracy. But when you talk about Satma, it's not 60-40. When you're a chassid and you have a rebbe, the rebbe says, Tanz, no, you know the song, Ali Yidn, everyone dances. The rebbe est, Ali Yidn essen. Whatever the rebbe does, the rebbe says, vote this way, 99% of Satma will vote one way. When you wear that up, that is a very powerful voice in a democracy. Because in a democracy, naturally speaking, it's 60, 40, 55, 45. Suddenly you get 70,000 votes on block. That's powerful. And Satmar learned it. Now, what will be with Satmar? And of course, that's the ultimate question. And Myers, what I spoke about last week, Myers, he and his wife, but I'll refer to them as Myers, they make exactly the same point. Look at page 386, and he says, Satmar is so powerful today that in their own communities, they have unbelievers, that's the word he uses, and who choose to remain in the community and in the closet for a variety of reasons, including the desire to stay connected to their families, fear of the outside world, and an ongoing appreciation of the values and practices of the community, notwithstanding their rejection of its beliefs. And this is very powerful and very correct, and that's what I said. You have something today, and it's going to get worse and worse with the internet, because the internet becomes a tool, a social tool where people let off steam and you have various websites. And it's the same thing in Israel, in Bnei Brak and elsewhere. But in Satmar, it's a minority, but it may be more than a minority. We have in halachic concepts, those of you who have learned your Hodea, there's a miyata nika and a miyatsha eino nika. And in Satmar, it may already be a Mir Hanika. And these people, they're laughing. What the heck is Satmar and not to study this and not to know this and everything is put down and no sex education. And these people, you know, are with it. They're closet Zionists, closet YU people, closet modern people, call it what you wish. But they remain. Why do they remain? And there are many reasons. One reason is simply family, and I told you, this is what, Ben, you guessed who the person was, but when he said to me, Rav Rakefet, you have truth. So I said to him, join me. And he says, I can't, my wife, my parents, my brother, you know. Then some of the people died, and boy, they didn't join me. They joined Beverly Hills. They joined a more exclusive company. I wish they'd come here and at Mata Kodesh, but they're doing holy work. I mean, I can't say no. They're doing holy work in Beverly Hills. But this is Satmar. How can I embarrass my brother, my father, my aunt, my uncle, my sister-in-law, my brother? All right, I'm caught up. Another reason which is very important too. Look, you're a Satmar, and you recognize that a lot of this is not real and not Judaism and not proper. But then you look at the outside world. Well, Gutzal Lapitin, I mean, it's inconceivable that intelligent people really believe a kid of 12, 13 has a choice. Are you a boy or a girl? It's beyond my human capacities to understand how stupid people can be. And we have it right here in Israel. The left, it's beyond words. Haaretz, Yediot, Mariv. I would declare it's usha to look at any newspaper out of Yisrael Hayom, or the religious newspapers. All right, everyone says you don't get good news in the Haredi newspaper, so let them join together and put out a proper newspaper. But who could believe a world where two men are getting married and two women are getting married? So a Sakma non-believer says, better to raise my kids in Sakma to let them go into the big world. And I have to tell you, they're not wrong. You know who Ben Shapiro is? Your name, Ben Shapiro. I have a grandson's big fan. He introduced me to Ben Shapiro. I'm very impressed, I have to tell you. This is impressive. A social media person who wears a kippah and is proudly an Orthodox Jew. And he just did a piece, everyone is commenting on it, criticizing the modern Orthodox world. I have news for you. Some of the things he said, I've been saying in class for years already. When you start this whole attitude, we got to be nice to the homo, to the lesbian, they can't help it, they're born that way. All you're doing is legitimatizing the end of the human race. And the more you legitimatize, and this is what I told you from my own experience, I've had experience, I'm teaching Torah 63 years, tens of thousands of students, canine her, come on. More homos and more lesbians come out of the closet, they're not homos, they're not lesbians. But it's easier, if it's legitimate already, what I have to learn, Nashim am bifnei atzmam hengling, open Gemara and Shabbos. What I have to learn about a woman and how to deal with a woman and put what we spoke about yesterday in class and put up with her makeup and her plastic surgery and her face. Women are much more judgmental than men. I don't know. Rabbi Yisrael Salanta had many male followers, not many, but a few, myself included. I don't yet know about any woman, but there probably were a few tzidkaniyot. But few and far between. And what Ben Shapiro says, he talks about Tsar Academy. Tsar Academy? Ben, do you know how much it hurts me to say Tsar Academy? Tsar Academy, well, what's your name?
Bram.
Ah, you wrote to me you're coming. Bram, yeah. Wakes.
Wax.
Wax. W-A-K-S. Wax, that's correct. And 1 second, you're from down under?
I'm from South Africa.
You're South African, okay. Not down under, but the same time as here, I think, we're in the same time zone.
Yeah.
So, Bram, you don't know the Bronx. Have you ever been to the Bronx?
I've been.
Where have you been? Riverdale. The rest of the Bronx, you can't walk in by night or by day. Okay. So you were to Riverdale, okay. When I was born, there was one yeshiva in the Bronx, Salanta. And I owe my life to Salanta. I'm going to dedicate, I have a major piece that will be coming out in due course. I'm going to dedicate it to my 8th grade Rebbe in Salanta, Rav Chenich Fishman, Zeichet Tzadik Levracha. Salanta. Shanghai. The Rebbeim. The influence. I'm sitting here. the desire to master Shas Paiskim. An American kid, third generation, I pled in Yiddish that I should be able to learn with the Rav. Afterwards, all you needed was English. And even that wasn't good enough because the Rav's English was way beyond him. But ich bin da from the Gerichtige Zeit, from Skomo given a Litvische Yiddish, a Geschmacken Yiddish. So, Salanta, neighborhoods changed. So years later it merged with University Avenue. There was Akiva Academy. Then that neighborhood went bad, and they merged with Riverdale, Tsar Academy, Salanta, Akiva, Riverdale. And their principal, so-called modern Orthodox, Why you graduate? He just stated, we can't hold anything against the homeless. They can't help themselves. All the homos can live with homos. Lesbians with lesbians, they can't help themselves. Put a lock on Torah. It's the end. The OU with America, they just passed the law. Total fairness, you can't criticize it. The OU supported it with double talk. I got to tell you, Ben Shapiro, Aaron Rakefet signs on. If Ben Shapiro's listening, add my name to your list of followers and devotees. Aaron Rakefet Rothkopf. Mention Rothkopf because in Solanta they knew me as Ani Rothkopf. Wow. Okay. Well, you can understand a Satmar individual. All right, my kids won't know English. They won't speak a proper English. All right, they won't be able to be professors, medical doctors, and atomic scientists. And Charlie, you're a biologist? What field are you in?
Chemist.
Biochemist. My daughter and my granddaughter is a biochemist. They won't be able to be all these things. And they won't be like a Rakefet, a historian. But at least they'll have basic proper values. And says they're going to go further. They're going to achieve. But what the future holds, time will tell. Why? What are the challenges today? So I have to say Myers hits the nail on the head. Not that I don't know it without, but it's good to see that professors and Rakefet are saying the same thing. Because I know my area, I'm a professor. Good, I know my area. Fine, I admit I know something. But you just, the more you know in your area, the more you realize. I get questions on the Bible. I just dictated a whole answer to Yomo the other day. Don't ask me these questions. Ask in Alon Shvut, Har Etzion, or Michlala. There they have experts on whose pshat is more correct and go by Nayim. It's not my field. You want to ask me in Aguda, Mamzeret? All right. Believe me, you'll get an answer. I'd be right, be wrong, I don't know. I guess a paiskim. But you'll get an answer. Elliot, first of all, what's happening in the world today, women go to work. Did your wife work?
Yeah.
Wow. Abe, did your wife work? Baruch Hashem. Like my wife didn't work. No, Mori, your wife worked? Okay. I know your wife. Your mother-in-law worked? Talmidav, Rabaron Cutler?
She had to work
because
she was
an Oh, she had to work with an Almoner after this. Charlie, plain and simple, women go to work today. When women go to work, they're exposed to the big world. And I told you, in my family, my wife is worried stiff. All our granddaughters-in-law all have doctorates, and not all our grandsons have doctorates. And my wife asked one of our granddaughters-in-law. We love them. Don't misunderstand me. Aren't you upset our grandson only has a bachelor's and you are doing research at Weizmann? And she said, no, she's very happy. He's a good husband, a good father. It's a different world today. B'nai Shalom, in my time, you should be a nothing and your wife a PhD and research, published papers. Hey, it's a different. Now, when a woman goes to work, she's exposed to the big world. If you notice, books have come out in our world. I saw a volume published by Feldheim, The Working Place. How do you do? How does a woman do? Imagine your working place, the boss calls you by your first name and then calls you honey. Darling, why do you react? And you know, that's the way people talk. Darling, what can I do for you? How do you keep the barrier. Go to work, Sapna women working, their English is perfect. May even beyond perfect. They're bright people, they have a Jewish head, a Yiddish cup. Wow. They're exposed. So you don't know. We can, you know, these women are gonna make certain demands. They're not stupid. That can be one problem. Another problem, television, radio, non-Haredi newspapers, you're able to control. You don't, can't put a television in. A Talmud of mine married into a Satma family, but she's a little bit more polished today. But they went to buy a television in Borough Park, and they had it delivered in a furniture box. People shouldn't see it's a television. But you see, the computer, you cannot control. It's this big. I see, I have an iPod. I transfer money to my grandchildren, great-grandchildren. I said to Ma, I can't believe what's going for Hanukkah. I made 14 transfers, Kanayin Hara. Let me not talk so much about my family, but 14 transfers within 10 minutes. I don't have to go to the bank. I don't have to do anything. And it reads, 1,000 shekel to, and it gives me the name. And he gets 1,000 shekel from Malkava. What a world. Just think for a minute. All of Shas, all of Rambam, right there on your iPad. All right, I don't live in that world. I just, it's beyond me at times. That's why Yomo assists me. But what a world we're living in. I remember yourselves in the Shtiblach between Mincha Mariv, when I used to daven a lot in the Shtiblach because I had grandsons nearby who would come with me. Now they're all married. So I remember between Mincha Mariv, professors from Bar Ilan would show new programs. 5 different Sidurim he's holding in his hand. Nusach Ashkenaz, Nusach Ari, Nusach Svad, Eda Tamizrach Moroccan, Eda Tamizrach Taimani. I'm laughing. I say, who needs 5 Sidurim? But you know, he's right. Take a look what you have. You see, these problems are real. And they affect Satma as much as they affect the rest of the Torah community. How to square the forces of assimilation with the forces of internal growth. They are undeniably potent, though not equally visible. They are engaged, in fact, in a race to the finish, a race that will define Kiryat Yoel's future, either as the world's first Hasidic city or as a communitarian experiment that succeeded spectacularly before ultimately succumbing to failure. That's a very powerful ending to a very fascinating volume. Let me go a step further. What I'm about to quote now burns me up, troubles me, but I have to live with reality. That work I quoted was written by scholars, professors in the field. They happen to be Jewish, probably from Jews. But I'm going to quote shortly from someone within the Satma world, from London. Not South Africa. You don't have in South Africa Satma. You have much more unity among all the Jews. And you have a very high percentage of Balei Tshuva. It's unbelievable. And your Balei Tshuva reach all the way to the White House, but not far enough. Know what I'm talking about? His daughter, they tell me, I have a Talmud who is South African. He knows her siblings. The daughter-in-law of the President of the United States, who may have an IQ of 95 perhaps, give him credit, 100. But he's president. I'm a nobody. So what good does my IQ do me? So you know that her family, after she left already, they were chazru b'tshuva. So you have the President of the United States, a daughter-in-law, whose siblings are Shema Torah Mitzvah. And she's assimilated, intermarried. Wow. My dear students, the greatest miracle that we Jews have in modern times, or since Churban HaBayit, or since Matan Torah, we've come home to the State of Israel. State of Israel began with 500,000 Jews, pioneers, survivors, DPs, people running away to save their lives in the Arab countries. Against all odds, we have over 7 million Jews today. And even though some of the leftists are trying to form a whole organization to leave Israel, and they want to have 20,000 people leaving, going elsewhere, as long as they sign, so you have freedom of choice in life. Bram, don't think you choose to leave Israel. Back in 1969, I was walking home from the Kotel, walking with a Yemenite Jew and a Talmud of mine from BMT. And this Yemenite Jew said a word to me that I never forgot. He said to this Talmud, how can you go back to Flatbush? But I want you to know, he says to the Talmud, if you do go back, it's not because you chose to go back. Lo taki etchem et haaretz. The land spat you out because you're not holy enough and good enough to live here. I never forgot that part. So anyone you want to leave is gesunt hay. But we've become the focal point of Torah and Jewish life. And I don't have to tell you, all the yeshivot from the black world to the white world in America, using popular language, everyone comes to Israel. Near yeshiva, you can't count how many thousands of students are learning in Mir. And where are they from? Some Israel, America, coast to coast, South Africa, England. The Hesda yeshiva, the post-high school programs here in Israel, wow, the gap year they call it. My time in 69, you came to Israel when you were a junior or finished with college. But all right, everything changed, as I've explained, after the Yom Kippur War. Israel has become the center of our life. The education, the eyes, the news. And I have to say, the Aliyah, it's overwhelming. Ashrei Ayin Ra'atazel. You saw what happened yesterday in this room. 5 or 6 middle-aged men walked in, all over 6'3", 6'4". I thought it was a basketball team. Remember, Mark? I said to them, what is this, a basketball team? Turned out my students, some from years ago and some from the internet, and they came to visit the Rebbe in person. And I asked after class, where are you from, where are you from, where are you from? And they started telling me a whole group of people who grew up together in some area in New York proper. They all live right next to each other, Ramat Beit Shemesh. And it's just unbelievable, the pull of Israel. Mark has 5 grandchildren, Rabbi Dr. Lieutenant Colonel, Mark Wiener, United States Army, prison system, Chicago. What a record. 5 grand, all his grandchildren at this moment. He has no other grandchildren. Am I right? live in Israel. The pull is unbelievable. My own family, I don't have to tell you. And this is Israel. But unfortunately, there's another point of view. Ben, there's some Jewish kids who get an education. They don't even know what Israel is about. All they hear is malediction and curses. Idiots. If you'd be living here, it'd be much better. Israel's a real democracy. Okay? We didn't come 150 years ago. That was a tragic, tragic mistake. Hitler, all that happened. The whole story could have been different. Have you read what I wrote yet? You understand? We'll get there. I'm going to get there in class. Irrefutable. But unfortunately, I had a very, very unique experience. One time only in life. It's the summer for close to 40 summers or more already. More, I can't do it anymore. I used to spend the summers in America, teaching, doing whatever I had to do. So one time I'm Kew Gardens Hills, and I'm looking for an early Friday night minyan. It's the summer. Who wants to eat at 10 o'clock at night? So they tell me in this shul, it actually was in the basement of the Youngers Hill of Kew Gardens Hills, there's an early minyan. Well, I come to the minyan, I walk in, and there's someone I never met before in my life, holding a volume, reading it intently, and he looks up at me, and both of us faint. He's holding from Washington Avenue to Washington Street, and he's looking. He looks. Then he flips the book over, looks at my picture. You're the author. We became very close. He was Russian, very active. If you look at the Wikipedia entry on me, I quote an article he wrote where he interviewed me and I gave him information, and it's very, and I wanted it in Wikipedia because it's quite important of something I did in my life that has implications for the IDF. And I got to know him well, and I have an opinion. I ripped the hell out of him. Why aren't you living in Israel? We risk our lives in communist Russia to get you out, and you're living in Kew Gardens Hills? All right. So right away he admits I'm right. It's easy to, doesn't cost you anything. But what's the problem? His wife. I say, your wife? Yeah. She's Russian. Got out. Wound up in Beis Yaakov in America. And in Beis Yaakov, Israel doesn't exist. Aliyah is a dirty word. Now, I want to quote to you an article from a Mosaic site, Advancing Jewish Thought, Mosaic, The Specter of Satmar by Eli Spitzer. Who is Eli Spitzer? Eli Spitzer is a Mosaic columnist and the headmaster of a Hasidic boys' school in London. He blogs and hosts a podcast at elispitzer.com. Boy, I read this article and I was furious. He boasts, who is Rabbi Yoel, the first Haredi leader to see America as not just a place of danger, but a place of opportunity as well. Okay. Fine. He did. He saw him, built the city. Wow. I don't know. He's the only one. Reb Aaron Cutler also saw America. Moi Rebbe, Rav Soloveitchik of Boston came there. Moi Rebbe used to say, when he went to shul, he was the youngest person in the shul. Who else was there? 70 and over, retiree. He says today, and he was when he said this, when he was 50s or 60s, I'm the oldest person in the shul. Hundreds of kids, tens of kids running around. We spoke about that last week near Galim. But then he says, and Rabbi Yoel knew what he wanted. And one time he was told of another Hasidic group in which adolescents were receiving a standard of secular education that would allow them to pursue professional careers. So the Satmar Rav said, quote, we will be the Gvirim, wealthy businessmen and donors, and they will be our accountants. All right. I don't know. A kid in Israel doesn't get a core curriculum. I don't see him being the wealthy Jews that hire guys like us who go to YU or Machon Lev or some other university to be their accountants. But okay, it's a Vatn de Satma. When you talk about the 47th Street photo, all right, he's right, 47th Street photo. There are exceptions to the rule. I always love Osherad. You know who founded Osherad? A Gera Chassid who never graduated elementary school. He worked for Super Soul. And the Haredi, they realized Haredi Jews in Israel are practically half the population. I see people buying and they're looking for a Heksha, Eda Haredit. They're not Haredi. They're just normal Jews, normal eight-up, where do you come? Oh, we have neighbors, we have friends, we have grandchildren, we have to be makpid. They saw it. Half the country wants Haredi Heksha. I'm happy with the rabbinate. What do you want out of me? All right, I don't know. With me, maybe. I don't know. I've never yet heard of any scandal with any rabbinate here. They come, they go, they take money, they don't take money. If I had my way, all Hechsherim are paid for by the government. It's a Jewish state. The Jewish state has to make available all the mashgichim. Nothing to do with individuals. But okay. And he goes on and on. Satmar in America has created a community. Islands of Judaism, where a Jew can live in Gullus, as if the yoke of the nations was not there at all. And what drove me crazy, this is the key line, Satmar's matchless confidence, ambition, and drive has allowed it to set up a modern alternative to Israeli Jewish Judaism. One that without any concession to Zionist culture meets the economic, spiritual, culture, and psychic needs of the Jew in the 21st century. If Elie Spitzer is correct, we're going to wind up having a Judaism Poresh Min HaTzibur that has cut itself off from the Jewish state, the state of Israel, the state that now has 7 million Jews. In your lifetime, you'll see a state with 10 million Jews, and you won't know what's going on in the world with no birth rate, and we have the highest, best birth rate of any Western country, and a world which Ezrat Hashem, Haaretz is not sleeping at night, because the majority of the Jews living in Israel will not just be traditional, but will be Shomrei Shavit Kedat VeKedin, Datiyim, Haredim, Litayim, Hasidim, etc. So this is Eli Spitzer. This is his dream. This is his Satma. What will be? All right, we can predict, we can guess, we can hope. The challenge is there. There's positive, there's negative. Let me go one step further and make it very personal. My dear student, Alan Blau, Dr. Blau, he was here a few weeks ago visiting Israel. He told me the good news. He bought an apartment here, planning Aliyah. His father was a Talmud Mefak of the Rav before me in the 40s, Bobby Blau. That's his father. Again, when you grow older, you have to say automatically Refuah Shleima and have strength. He's in his 90s, I would imagine. If I'm 85, he has to be in his 90s. Okay. So he writes to me the following. In the early 1970s, I was a camper in the Chabad summer camp, Gan Yisrael, in Parksville, New York. One afternoon, my bunk was on a hike and it was beginning to get late. My counselor said that he knew a place where we could daven mincha, and we walked to a shul inside a Satma bungalow colony. I immediately wondered to myself, why is he taking us into so-called enemy territory? Upon entering the shul, we saw an elderly Satma man who did not speak any English. He looked at us in a puzzled and suspicious manner, pointing to one of the boys who had very long hair. He began to shout angrily in Yiddish, "Was far bacher is das? What kind of bacher is that?" My counselor softly replied that he was a boy from an unobservant family who nevertheless was interested in learning more about Judaism. He further explained that he'd not asked the boy to get a haircut because he was waiting until he would want to do it on his own. We started to daven. I apologize. I told you, whenever I talk about Balitshuva, I cry. I was raised, the whole world was running away from Judaism. It's like I told you yesterday, 700,000 plus Jews in the Bronx. You couldn't find 10 Shomer Shabbos families. We started to daven, and as after mincha, as we were about to leave, the elderly man asked the counselor if we could stay a few minutes longer, and then to my surprise, brought out some baked kashka, delicious, that's a Hungarian cake, and drinks for all of us. And that story, to me, is what I believe will happen with the overwhelming majority of Satma. If you're a Shomer Shabbos, and you're a Jew in practice, ultimately, you have to come home to Israel. It has to have an impact. And just think for a moment. The majority of the Jewish Chavrei Knesset and the new Knesset are Shomrei Shabbos. This is a fact. I can tell you that even in the past Knesset, for instance, Gantz's party, almost all the women surrounding him and some of the men were Shomrei Shabbos, including one of the Sarim b'Memshelet Yisrael, was first cousin to my granddaughter-in-law. Shomeret Shabbat, 100%. It has to have an impact. And you can't dismiss it. You're going to look at the Haguda representatives who are now going to be Sarim b'Mishalat Yisrael. All right, Chassidus Yid. I don't think he's a lot brighter than I am because he's a wealthy guy. He did it on his own. What can I tell you? But not exactly the most sophisticated. It's a different story. So the Zayin Gesund has to have an impact. If you're a Jew, there will always be until Mashiach Tzidkenu self-hating Jews. To the Kata. This is part of life. The Gemara at the end of Brachot, we think differently, we act differently. But this story is beautiful. I can understand this elderly Satna sees a kid with long hair. One time in BMT, when the long hair was in style in the mid-70s, so I once made a negative comment. You don't know how many kids told me off. We have a right. It's very careful afterwards. I don't want to push a kid away because of long hair. Let him have a ponytail. They cut it off afterwards. But you got to wait until their Jewish sensibility matures. And that Satma, look what he thought about during Mincha. If Jewish kids raised non-observant homes want to wear a kippah and are starting to come back, let me honor them with lekach and mashke. It will happen. It is happening. Reb Aaron and Reb Zalman, they too have made their peace with the world. Baron Keitelman davened in the Chabad Shul in Palm Springs. This is Palm Springs in California. I was there for Chabad convention. I spoke. And I had a problem because I'm used to speaking to audiences which are more or less trilingual. I can speak English, throw in Hebrew, throw in Yiddish. There, anything I said that was not in English had to be translated. When I got a complaint, I had a lady who said, you raise your hand and I'll translate. Just that's the reminder. They're all Balei Tshuva. They don't know Hebrew, they don't know Yiddish. Okay. I'm in a time warp. We grew up already. I had to break my teeth. I had to learn Yiddish. Hebrew, of course, I had to learn. And he davened there. He hosted a tea party in Kiryat Yoel to rebuild the Palm Springs mikveh. $100,000 were raised to rebuild a Chabad mikveh in Palm Springs. Well, that tells you something. Rab Zelman Leib has his own kesher with Chabad today. He was returning from Arizona during the year for his mother, saying Kaddish. Due to bad weather, he landed in Washington, D.C. He needed a minyan. He was in the airport, needed a minyan. They contacted Lubavitch, and within minutes, Lubavitch just came, filled in the minyan that the Satmar Ruf from Williamsburg should be able to say Kaddish. On the other hand, let me lend off. There's not just the positive. There's the negative. When you accommodate yourself with America, you pay a heavy price. And here's a whole article. You just had an election for the governor of New York State. Appalled that Satma endorsed New York Governor Hochul, Kathy Hochul, if I'm pronouncing her last name right, who endorses immorality. And we're talking about the governor of New York who's in favor of homos, lesbians, same-sex marriage, all that goes with America today. You can blow your brains out while Putin is bombing the Ukraine, destroying a country, killing ultimately hundreds of thousands. At the same time, he signed the law for the Duma, the Russian parliament, no public support, no advertisements, and any article written supporting same-sex marriages is a criminal offense in Russia. Signed 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. Alan, Elliot, if you have to live out of Israel, the only country you're allowed to live in is Russia. Tell me, Bram, in South Africa, can you run ads in favor of same-sex marriages? Is it allowed or not allowed? It's allowed. I think it's only Russia. It's unbelievable. But this is Gullus.
This
Muslim countries, yeah. There they'll hang you in public. And Randall put up a car, you know, a construction vehicle, and hang you from the top of it. Baruch Hashem. There they, Morocco, all right. Finally. No, you listen to the news? You're up to date? You follow what's going on in Satmar, in New York? You're part of the big world? The world is going crazy. Look at Arutz Sheva. Look at any publication. Zalman, Leib, Zoli, Grand Rabbi, Williamsburg. Just went to visit a Satmar Chassid in jail. What this man did, more women will commit suicide. What am I talking about? I don't want to mention the name before. He may very well be related to my wife, Nehemiah Weberman. The Weberman family, I know the family. They were Malachim. 1920s, 1930s, they were Malachim. They may be related. They tie into my neighbor, Kami Horowitz. And could be they tie into the Sons. That's my wife's family. They were all Malachim. Remember my lectures on Malachim many years ago. I never thought I'd have to talk about this, but I guess I have to. This Weberman, they all became Satmar, this part of the family. There's other parts that became religious Zionists, became Chabadnikim, but he became Satmar. He was highly thought of. And he became the counselor for high school girls that they had a problem with in the Beis Rochel, in the Satmar High School for Girls. Didn't have any training, but I don't know, he became the counselor. I don't want to go further. If you read the testimony of that 13-year-old girl, for years, she was having problems, they wanted to throw her out, they sent her to him. What he did behind the closed door in his office, I cannot articulate. Sickening. She testified. They wanted to pay her off. You know what went on? This is a number of years ago. He was sentenced to 112 years in prison, I think it was. It was cut back to 50 years because that's the rule. Anything above 50 years, ultimately it's only 50 years in jail. You know, drop dead in jail. He's been in jail many years. And Zalman went to visit him now. The Satmar newspaper, Kiryas Yovel Wochenschrift, one of the Satmar newspapers, week after week now, they've had an article on Weberman that it's false testimony, the jury was prejudiced, what do you expect? It is beyond comprehension. Now, why is this so serious? It's not just the act of visiting a criminal, a man of the lowest element, take advantage of a 13-year-old girl. It's more than that. You become a murderer. Let's go back to Chaim Walter. Do I have the right name? Walter. Chaim Walter, what this man did, and people knew, I mean, this is what's so shocking. So many people knew. We have no muscle. So many people among us that are total, not human anymore. I don't know what word to use. You think they're the Neytera? I mean, you can go on and on. It's not for now. I've seen so many scandals. Among them, people I knew, people I hugged, people I said Yashikayach to. So you see, Waldo, when he commits suicide, the Haredi press writes him up, Hatzadik, Seichetzadik Lebracha. No, you tell me, what happened? One of the women that he seduced, raped, call it what you wish, she committed suicide. She said, this man was so evil, and the world in which I live, they made him a tzaddik. The same thing is being said now. Read about it. There's so many women in Satmar who have been abused, and suddenly this man, a sexual fiend, and they write about him, Hatzadik, Shlita. Hey, these are quotes. Read what the women have to say. And I extend an invitation to all these women, but it's hard. Join us. This is not Yiddishkeit. This is not Torah. This is not Mesirat Nefesh. This is not Kedusha. This is not Tahara. Join us. But I can understand a woman in Palm Tree listening to this lecture from Tochechei Yerushalayim, to quote Halil that we said this morning. It's beyond her. It's difficult. Join us. But I have to say, I dictated a letter this morning to a Talmud in New York, and I quote, doesn't Zalman have advisors who have understanding and perception? How do you allow the Rebbe to go to jail to visit Wetman? How do you allow these articles, Hatzadik, Hakadosh, wrong? And this girl, you got to hear the testimony day after day and what she went through, and she had to be protected because there was Satna willing to kill her. You can't make it up. I've heard other testimony, other cases recently. You can't make it up. It hurts. To me, Torah has to be purified. Kedusha, Torah. Okay. My dear students, what will happen? We will see. 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years down the line. I'm betting on the state of Israel. And I can tell you, Minas Shamayim, who would ever dream how much anti-Semitism there is in the world today? And that anti-Semitism is working to our advantage. It's waking up Jews. And we have an aliyah from the Anglo countries, from the developed countries, better than ever. So Be'ezrat Hashem, it's turmoil, but we Jews can't live without turmoil. Had be it Mashiach Tzidkenu. This is part of the saga of the Torah people that I am proud to be one of its humble representatives. To reiterate, first of all, any questions? Yes, Graham.
Do we know Lot was in those sons they used to visit him?
It's a whole movement underway to get his sentence commuted, like Lubashkin.
We maybe need counseling the Rebbe.
The Rebbe what? No. They didn't. The articles never said that counseling. But what counseling? When Reb Aaron Soloveitchik went to visit Jonathan Pollard, a statement is being made that Reb Aaron Soloveitchik cares about Jonathan Pollard. Okay? Here you have a statement, but in my humble opinion, wow. You should see what the women, they're interviewing Satmar women. They give a whole list of women who have been abused in Satmar. And what is the saying? A woman's only role in life is to satisfy a man's evil, vicious desires. It's not Torah. Not marriage, not sanctity, not the way we were raised. Oh boy. There's so many beautiful makorot in Chazal. But this is not it. Okay, it hurts because this is such foolishness. How do you let Sotmurov, all right? To me, I'm a Litvak. I don't get impressed by titles. Everybody can learn and he can learn and that's important. But otherwise, forget it. All right. First of all, I want everyone to know that this is the end of Satmar, the history, where we stand, where it'll be, what will be. We're all guessing. But these are all real possibilities. And I what Myers has to say and what our friend from London has to say. Very fascinating. Will it be a Judaism unto itself, a punishment at Sibur, a city like the Puritans used to speak, a holy city on the mountaintop, palm tree? Or will they make a Kiddush for people like us who left the Golden of Medina, came in Aliyah, and built the Torah state. Let's see. Let's see what will happen. I wouldn't miss, next week there's no Shiurim, it's Hanukkah. I wouldn't miss the Shiur that follows in 2 weeks' time. We begin the rebuttal of not just Satmar, but anyone who's not a religious Zionist, b'lev v'nefesh. The gauntlet is thrown down, beginning in 2 weeks' time. Sunday, Be'ezrat Hashem, we pick up where we left off. Are you allowed to dye your beard? Kishut, plastic surgery. A man, your nose is crooked. Can you straighten it out like a woman? The beard, see, also serious question. Ben comes home and his wife says, "You look too old. I married a young man, not an old man." Dyes a beard. Interesting. Morty, can you open it to the world? Your mo has, as usual, disappeared. When they invented Yomo, they threw the mold away until we meet again in health and happiness. Das Vidanya. Okay, we're trying to unmute. It's unmuted?
Yeah, everyone can unmute if they want.
Everyone can unmute if they want. Are there any questions from around the world? Can you hear me? Jack, can you hear me? Shake your head.
Yes, sir. We can hear you.
And you can speak. Okay. All right. If there are no questions...
Bear in mind that it's the governor who gets to pardon people. So, sometimes there's a little support thrown in there because...
They're going to recognize homos and lesbians because of this man's oversex act terrible acts. And that's why they were. So, all right, what you say, a trade-off, let me tell you, if that's the trade-off, Hashem Yirachem al Shevet Amo. It sins on all parts, on all parts. And Nachum, what you were saying in your original letter to me on the homos and lesbians with YU, etc., it's exactly what Ben Shapiro was saying.
Yes, sir.
Yes,
sir. It was very good.
Very, very good. I couldn't believe it. The man thinks...
Go ahead. I liked what he said. He was... Pardo was your student, right?
Yeah, of course. David Pardo was my student.
I liked what he said there about the chokification, that you just say, oh, it's a chok, we can't explain such things, you know, what can we do, it's a chok. It's an excuse to get away with anything.
Right. David Pardo was at, where is he? No, he's in Florida today. He's in, he gave up the rabbinate. I'm upset he was in the rabbinate, and a brilliant fellow, David Pardo. I thought he'd go into Torah learning on a high level with academia and do something unique. He had that ability. But all right, he's down in Florida. He explained to me that his parents, and I think her family, let them enjoy the grandchildren. All right, it's a proper attitude, but it's a little selfish. We have to do what's proper. And look, let me tell you, if you want to do what's proper, you should be in Kew Gardens Hills near your parents so they can enjoy the grandchildren, or you're here and they have to order toys from China to send to you for Hanukkah for the kids. You follow? All right. I believe that your being here is proper. And life, nothing is black and white. Thank God your parents are functioning. You came here when they were younger. And you have to do what the Torah requires. I've had some delicate questions with Aliyah where the parents are ill. Can you live ill parents? And there I'm inclined to say no. The obligation of taking care of your parents is more important, particularly if you're the only one who can. Okay? But these are life and death questions, not easy answers. But Bezrat Hashem. But I have to tell you, Ben Shapiro is my hero, and he wears a kippah. And Miriam Bialik, if I have the name right, I also stand in awe. She was the only one fasting in the studio, and Tainet Esther. Kol hakavod lah. That's all I can say. When I came in Aliyah, you know, when I was younger, I did all the fast days. I have to say, at my age already, they want to accept me from Yom Kippur. So you can imagine the minor fast days. You know, the psaki with the dehydration if you're over 85. Baruch Hashem, I made Yom Kippur in dignity. But when I came to Aliyah, I was shocked. I was working in the encyclopedia, and from people, no one's fasting on the minor fast days. Then I found out that the brisca, there's a whole thing that is manhazer, we're cholim, we're basakana, we're not weak, nitmatu adorat. And there was a whole attitude that minor fast days we take lightly. And here Miriam Bialik is fasting on Tainet Esther. I was very impressed. Okay. Give me the good stories, and once again, I want to recall Irwin Shapiro's memory. It's the loss of a very, very dear friend. And all right, we have to go further, and I'll be in touch. I'll try to call the various people in the family. I feel bad that I can't be Menachem Avil in person, but we have to live with the realities of the wide ocean and the old age. All right. Thank you so much for honoring me with your presence until we meet again in health and happiness. Das vidanya. Hi. Bruchim to you.